I'm Tom Hall. Again, glad you're with us. We're going to start today with our monthly Health Watch feature. Dr. Lena Nguyen joins me again in Studio A. She is Baltimore City's Health Commissioner. Good morning, Lena. It's always good to see you.
Good morning, Tom.
So we've got a very hot day today, a hot day tomorrow, and I understand that just within the last 15 minutes, you've declared another code red advisory, not just for today and tomorrow, but for Sunday. So we are in for a long weekend, aren't we?
Absolutely. And people need to know that heat is one of our leading killers when it comes to weather-related emergencies. It's not just cold weather that's dangerous. Hot weather is extremely dangerous, too.
The cooling centers are also open now. When folks use the term heat stroke, what does that mean? What are the symptoms? I mean, if we're living in a house with an older person or young, very young children, the ones who are most susceptible to problems with heat and dehydration, what should we be on the lookout for?
Think about not just the term heat stroke, but hyperthermia, which is high body heat. Heat stroke is an extreme version of that. But even before one gets to heat stroke, people should be on the lookout for signs and symptoms. So especially for children, for the elderly, for others who are medically frail, watch for symptoms like nausea, dizziness, confusion. People can sometimes get dry mouth and they feel that their hearts are beating more quickly. But watch for those symptoms. Make sure that people stay indoors in air conditioning as much as possible. Limit the time outdoors. Sometimes kids can go out and play and not realize that they've been in the sun and then come back really dehydrated. Hydration, very important. Don't drink alcohol, which can blunt your senses when it comes to going, knowing that something is wrong. And very importantly, never leave your pets, never leave your children in a car, even if it's for just a few seconds, because the inside of the car heats up very rapidly. And unfortunately, every year, our animal control officers at the health department find pets that die. And there have been kids who have died of hyperthermia as well.
Sure. And if you're in a neighborhood, you know that you have a neighbor, particularly an elderly neighbor, maybe she doesn't have air conditioning, something like that, you know, try to do what you can to help. If you've got air conditioning, have her over, you know, or maybe help her get to one of the cooling centers, or, you know, just keep an eye on folks. But hydration is really the key, isn't it? People just have to drink lots and lots of water.
Hydration is very important. And as you said, watching out for those around us who are the most vulnerable, this is as good of a time as any to be a good neighbor, because it does require all of us to keep our community healthy and safe.
Indeed. So let's talk about Zika prevention. Big news in Miami, in the greater Miami area. This last week, more than 20 reported cases of locally transmitted Zika in Florida. It's interesting to me that it seems to be incredibly contained. It's like within like a square mile radius. How does that? I mean, mosquitoes are all over the place.
How's that work? You know, mosquitoes are all over the place, but the Aedes mosquito, the mosquito that carries Zika, lives in an area just 100 feet away. And so the mosquito itself is not going to be traveling. The Zika-infested mosquito is not going to be traveling miles, certainly is not going to travel all the way up to a different state. The issue, though, is that we have been anticipating local transmission of Zika for months. This is the reason why Mayor Rawlings Blake asked for me to head up the citywide Zika task force, why we've had all of our city agencies involved for months. We've been coordinating with our state and federal partners for months, because we knew that local transmission, according to the CDC, was likely to happen. Now it's happened in Florida, which means that it's not just cases of people who've traveled to other countries who've brought it back who are getting Zika. It's also people who haven't had any travel at all who are affected. And the concern about Zika is not for the average person. It's for the pregnant woman, because of the possibility of birth defect in the unborn child. There have been over 57 cases of Zika in Maryland, all that are travel associated. But I want to remind our listeners that it's not just Zika that mosquitoes can carry. Mosquitoes carry all kinds of other illnesses like West Nile and dengue and chikungunya and other illnesses too. And so it's really important for everyone to get rid of standing water. Something as small
As a bottle cap, people have been saying. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and there are unsuspecting things in the yard that can collect standing water. So Tupperware containers, pet dishes, flower pots, trash cans. Make sure that you empty standing water, because that's the best thing that we can do to protect our neighbors. And this is also a good time to be a good neighbor and check on your neighbor's yards, too.
The city has been spraying as well in particular areas. How are you identifying the areas that need to be sprayed, and what should the folks in those areas be aware of?
We identify the areas that need spraying based on the guidelines set by the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and in coordination with our other city and state agencies. Some of the reasons we spray include around cases of individuals who have Zika and depending on the surveillance that we have for mosquitoes that are in the area. We have traps that are around the city looking at what types of mosquitoes there are. And when we do spraying, we notify residents in advance by going door to door. Our outreach workers and volunteers go door to door, and we do reverse 911 messages. So people get phone calls at home, alerting them about when that spraying is to take place.
And if the spraying is taking place, you know, are there any particular precautions that folks should do? Should they stay inside, keep the windows closed,
yes,
the air conditioning on?
Individuals are recommended to stay indoors and also to bring specific items indoors. For example, pets and children certainly should not be playing outside during that time. And pet dishes and children's toys should be moved inside for the 1 to 2 hours around the time of spraying as well.
So the spraying, the actual spraying is a somewhat dangerous time. I don't want to use the word dangerous if that's too strong a term, but do people have anything to worry about after the spraying has been done? I mean, these are chemicals we're throwing out there, and people obviously have a sort of knee-jerk reaction to safety when it comes to that.
Everything that we do in medicine and public health is about cost and benefit. There is a risk to every single intervention that we have, no matter if it's a medication or a procedure or anything. And that's why we're so careful in monitoring in advance of why it is that we need to spray. And we look at the risks and benefits to having to doing the spraying. And so please, if you get a phone call from us, if you get outreach workers visiting you, please follow our instructions. But also everyone in the city should be reassured that we are ready for Zika, that we have been preparing for this for months, and that this is something that we expected to happen. Now, it's unfortunate that Congress still has not appropriated the amount that that President Obama, that the CDC have been asking for. Zika is a crisis in slow motion. For everything in public health, it's hard to measure the value because we're preventing something from happening. But we can't just look at the cost of a program. We also have to look at the cost of doing nothing. And the cost of having a child born with severe birth defects in our city and around the country is unconscionable and significant when it comes to economic impact. And so we have to look at that, too.
Yeah, Department of Health and Human Services and the Obama administration just a couple of days ago announced that they were diverting about $81 million from other programs into research to develop a Zika vaccine. But, of course, where does that leave those other programs? It's not that those are unimportant programs.
Same thing that we're seeing in the city as well. We have had to divert our resources to fight Zika, something we feel strongly about doing because it is a public health emergency. But so is the opioid crisis. So is lead poisoning. So is HIV. And so it's important for us to get additional resources so that we can improve the health of our residents and reduce the already rampant disparities.
Dr. Lena Nguyen, the city's health commissioner here in Baltimore City. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Speaking of opioids, you have an overdose Awareness Day happening in a couple of weeks on the 31st of August. What's that going to include?
There are more people in our city dying from overdose than there are from homicide. From our standpoint, it is critical that everyone is involved in stopping overdoses because there's something that we can all do today. The people that are affected by addiction and overdose, they're not random people. They're our residents. They are our neighbors. They are family members. They are community members. Everyone can learn to use naloxone or Narcan to save a life. We'll be having trainings all across our city. For those individuals who are interested in volunteering, we still have many slots open for volunteers to join our staff in training. So please contact us at health.baltimorecity.gov and sign up to be a volunteer. We have a number of commemorative events, of awareness-raising events throughout our city. And August 31st is Overdose Awareness Day. We hope that everyone will join us in that.
Because you would really like everybody, all of us, to know, for example, how to administer naloxone in case we have a family member or a neighbor who has an addiction episode and is overdosed. I mean, this is not something that you want to just confine to people who are addicts or confine to the people who are caring for addicts, right? It's that big a problem, in other words. You think we should all know about it, even if at the moment we may not have anyone in our lives that's dealing with this.
Frankly, we don't know if we have someone in our lives who has an addiction. Addiction, unfortunately, is so heavily stigmatized. People are functioning addicts for a long time. And if we can all save a life, then why not? And there is something, so we can do the training right here in 20 seconds. It's that easy for us to be able to do. If a person is overdosing, they can't save their own life because they're unresponsive and not breathing. That's why there's something that each of us can do to save a life. You can go to don'tdie.org right now and learn to use naloxone and even get a prescription for it right now. And we urge everyone to do so and to join us on August 31st.
Don'tdie.org. I don't know. I got mixed feelings about that website, but we do need to get people to go.
It's a strong message, and people are dying every single day in our city from overdose.
Indeed. All right, Dr. Lena Nguyen, always good to see you. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
Dr. Lena Nguyen is Baltimore City's health commissioner. She joins us each month for our Health Watch series. We'll have a link to the Baltimore City Health Department website at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. That'll include information about Opioid Awareness Day on August 31st. Coming up after a break for the news, we examine the damning report by the Department of Justice about the pattern and practice of conduct in the Baltimore Police Department. We'll talk about it with Kevin Rector of the Baltimore Sun, Lynn Bowie of the Washington Post, Ben Jealous of the Center for American Progress, and Police Commissioner Kevin Davis. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.